Hello, welcome to the Mo Show. Yeah, we're coming from live from the back of the Mobile Operations Centre here, and it's decidedly cooler today, thank goodness, because the rest of this week has been pigging hot. It's been awful. The mock has been it's like that tin box in Bridge on the River Kwai that Alex Guinness gets put in. It was not good. I've insulated it, which has helped no end, so I dread to think what it was like if that hadn't been done. But anyway, joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the news stories that haven't happened. Dave Ginsburg, how you doing, mate?
Going great. Glad to be back. I took a little vacation last week and back for some more antics here.
You look slightly tanned.
Yeah, a little sun at the beach. We're in Michigan, so we were hanging out on the side. We took the car ferry across Lake Michigan from Wisconsin to Michigan and did the West Coast.
Good. I've been up there. How far up did you go?
Oh, Manitowoc in Wisconsin is where the ferry comes out of, and then we go across to Ludington, then we went down south.
I went up to Petoskey years ago, and that was lovely, isn't it? Petoskey's awesome. Yep. Gorgeous. Yeah, it's like an old fishing village on by the sea that isn't by the sea.
Oh, it is.
It's by the lake, but it's a gorgeous old town. Loved it to bits, and we went to a casino there as well for something Indian. Casino.
Big casino there.
Yeah. Very good. Really nice. If you do get a chance to go, it's well worth it. The north and up there to the upper peninsula of Michigan. Yeah, beautiful stuff.
Yeah, that's God's country.
I'd love to see it. I actually saw it in the summer, and I did work in Grand Rapids during the autumn, and the drive from Detroit to Grand Rapids through all that forest and stuff is just beautiful in the autumn. Never seen so many colours in my life. Yep. Good to have you, mate. Next to him, the man who walked off the golf course nearly in disgust at the heat. Chuck Joyner, how you doing, mate? You recovered?
I've recovered, Ewan. Yeah, I played the next day when the heat went down a little bit, but
you can't keep a mad golfer down.
Nope, I finished on the hot day and I played again the next day. So yeah, exactly.
How have you been?
I've been good. Always look forward to this every Friday.
Yeah, no, it's good. Getting the habit. What are you going to do when you have to go back to work?
We try to arrange the lunch hour so I can still do it.
Too right. Can't miss this out. Next to him, Patrice, who is in charge this week.
Yes, I am. I'm in charge of everything, and yeah, it's been fun.
Got the hairband to go with the flag.
Yeah, I didn't even coordinate that. You're right.
Are you allowed to do that, or is that unpatriotic, American friends?
This is not a flag, so I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay there.
Big issues, of course.
Most people care, but...
Because you can't wear the flag as a T-shirt and stuff like that, can you? It's,
Officially, no. I think most people don't care. I have a dress. Like, I have an American flag dress. Like, I don't care.
Okay. Well, you're not American, so that does help.
Exactly. So that there's that.
Yeah. You've been well?
Do whatever I want. Yeah, I've been very busy, but I've been well, like good week.
I was gonna say, are you dealing with the pressure?
Yeah, I mean it's not the first time. Like I've done that in the past. I'm usually pretty pressure resistant, so I can deal with that.
Talking of pressure resistant, Callum, how's life getting digs from the people in the outside office while you do the show?
It's okay. I'm quite blessed because I've got a little blind here, so I can sort of peek every now and again and see what's going on, which is good.
But, I see who's coming with a bucket of water.
Yeah, or a cupboard that they suddenly want to put in this particular room at the particular time I'm doing the podcast. So,
good. Be well.
Yeah, fine. Busy. Another really busy week, which is good. And just sort of cracking through all of the jobs and. Another week down that seems to be flying by, to be fair. So
Watch out, mate. You'll soon be 22.
I am 22.
All right, then you'll be 23. So I told you how time flies.
That's how quick it's going.
Get to 23 and then there's only death left to look forward to. And last but by no means least at all, the man with the live stream on his fingertips. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm excited to be here. What a great way to start off every single weekend.
Any moose this week?
No moose this week.
Moose eye?
Meese?
Meese?
No, that's something else.
Mises. Yeah, this week it is bobcats, possibly a mountain lion, and of course the usual trash pandas.
The Boulder Wild Animal Report.
Yep.
No forest fires.
Not close by, but
oh, there are, you know, some. Jeez.
Yeah, it's that season. So right now, most of our smoke is coming from fires outside of Colorado. But next month is when we're likely to have the really big ones, at least historically. So
right.
Yeah, we'll see how it is next month.
So you're saying all the big gender reveal parties are happening next month in
all
Colorado?
The big gender reveal parties, okay. Happen in August.
Okay.
And you know, and you, we're walking around town, and all of a sudden there's blue smoke up above or pink smoke up above. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, so they're having a boy.
All the power rangers go around and find the fires and point them and go, you're too early, put yourself out.
They should. Yeah.
Jeff, what does it mean if there's not blue or pink? What if it's another color smoke?
If it's gray.
Yeah, or green.
If it's gray, well, they're letting the baby decide.
It's the nuclear,
if it's
power
white,
station.
Well, then they just had a pope.
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I get the reference, but pope poop. Yeah. The wig in Apple. Has anyone bought the MagSafe connector?
Yeah.
MagSafe charger. Yeah. What do you think to it?
I don't mind it. It charges fast, and I use it with the iPhone once in a while. I don't use it all the time, but it's a good little charger, and the prices have come down as you're showing there.
Since I bought it, $30 as opposed to $39. Are you getting any problems with power? Anyone that's got the 12, are they getting any issues at all with loss of power at the end of the day? And
no,
going into battery save mode and all. Yeah, see, I didn't think that, but Bob Beach put in today that he bought himself the MagSafe pack, the battery pack that goes on the back. And there's some lovely Nomad have created lovely leather covers to go on the back. There you go, that was good. To go on the back of it to protect their batteries with lovely leather things. So there you go. So an extra $35 will get you something for your £99 battery pack. Now, I said to Bob, why have you bought that? Because are you really suffering with battery issues? And he went, no, I'm not.
Yeah. That's usually how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot yesterday on InTouch with iOS. We'll be coming out today. That the iPhone 12 Pro Max, I mean, I get amazing battery life out of the 12 Pro Max, and I just really don't see any need for the MagSafe power pack at all. I mean, $100, I mean, I guess it's a good value if you're having problems with if your phone and want to be able to, you know, charge it. Now, the mini is probably a good choice for it because the battery is not as
a significant variance across the models.
Yeah, the Mini, I think, would be the one that it would be more suited for, because that battery doesn't last as long.
Yeah, but even that is not that different. Like, the device is smaller and uses less power in general. So yeah, the difference between the models these days is rather minimal.
Yeah, I mean, Bob bought it because he felt like he wanted to make sure he was covered when he went back to work. I think the thing that is nice about, and we've always all been complaining about that. Oh, didn't you remember when you used to be able to crack open the case and you could put another battery in, you could carry a spare second battery? Isn't that what this is? You know, if you are struggling, then you can just clip this on the back and there you go. And that's actually, you know, this is a typical example of us complaining about the thing that we wanted from 1995. Actually getting it and then not realizing we got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not 100% the same, but it's close enough that I would say.
Well, it's a spare battery that you can put on your phone. So,
I mean, the only thing you still can't do is if your internal battery broke, this wouldn't help with that. Like, you still have to get it replaced.
Yeah,
but that's about it. Like, that's it. Like, everything else is covered.
Yeah,
they don't even charge the AirPods Pro. Someone tried it. They put the AirPods Pro case on it.
And nice.
It's a Qi charger, so it charges.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. That is awesome. I should get that.
Is the 12 still Lightning, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
We're talking about one of the things I wanted to talk about was whether Apple are really going to actually call the 13 the 13, because
yeah.
The people who've got issues over the number 13 won't be buying it, or they'll buy it and they'll swear blind it's a cursed iPhone. is there any indication, number one, are they going to call it the 13, or are they going to suddenly find a way of skipping onto the X3 or something like that? Are they going to, I forgot the other thing I was going to say. Is it going to go to USB-C? There we go.
We had that discussion 2 years ago when iOS 13 came out.
Yeah.
And Apple didn't care. And I think the same is true now. Like, if they didn't do it 2 years ago, they're not going to do it now. They're just going to say, it's the 13, agree. Who cares? Most people don't remember, don't care.
OS 13 was pretty short-lived, wasn't it?
Well, it was a year, right?
Just like,
just like every other year.
12.
Like, no.
Moving on.
I don't think this phone will go to, like, not having Lightning. I think that might be another year.
You think so?
At least another year, at least, like, minimum.
No, I think it'll go. I really do think it'll go USB-C. Because I mean, what else other than the AirPod cases? What else is Lightning in the line?
iPads,
still the older iPads, and iPad Mini and iPad.
The regular is the regular iPad,
the non-pro iPads. Yeah. The non-pro iPads are.
Non-pro iPads are still Lightning. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see the Pro, not the Pro Max phone, being USB-C.
So you think they'll have a separation in the line? You think there might be Lightning at the low end and USB-C at the high end?
Possibly, yeah. It's how they've done it with the iPad, so
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think Apple would rather completely ditch the port than switch to USB-C. On the iPhone, at least.
Possibly. I don't know. They seem to be a bit more gradual with stuff like that. So it seems to be, you know, like they've done with the iPads, they're phasing it in, and like they're doing, you know, changing from Intel to Apple Silicon. Perhaps I think it's going to be probably a couple of models, and then eventually all.
Yeah, but if they already know that in 2 years, let's say 2 years, like for argument's sake, it could be five. Who cares? If in 2 years they're gonna remove the port, then there is absolutely zero point in switching to USB-C now. Because that is going to upset a lot of people, because now all their accessories don't work, and then they have to buy new accessories, and then in 2 years, Apple just ditches the port. And Apple knows now. Like, they're planning four or five years ahead for that. So they know that.
I think as well, there's a functionality point that if you do have the USB-C port, it does offer you better performance, and that might be what you want on a Pro device, possibly.
Yeah, but does that matter on a Pro? I don't think so. I think that they might do something else. They might actually introduce like some sort of like the first step towards stitching the port, which is like probably MagSafe communication of some sort.
Patrice, I know what you're saying. I still think there's a place for a USB-C port. I mean, the whole shot on iPhone thing. You're using the iPhone's camera, but you still need a microphone connection of some kind. And I just cannot see Apple sealing that off. I mean, that just kind of doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, maybe it's not in the same place, and maybe it's not primarily used for charging, although why wouldn't it be? But I just can't see them doing a completely closed iPhone.
I think that's Apple's goal. Like, as I said, not now. They have to find some, for what you said, some solution.
So the third option then you're suggesting is that there is no charging port.
Yep, no port. As I said, not in the 13. I don't think in the 13, but maybe in the 15 or 16.
Apple has a plan that that ultimately gets rid of the Lightning port, does not replace it with USB-C, and instead will go to something like we see on the back of the iPad, where it's connection points that are on the surface, but don't actually go inside. So you don't plug something in, you put something on.
Yeah, and all you need is a case or something, or like a, as I said, a MagSafe thingy that you attach and then you can plug in.
Yeah. Okay, so
I think
go, Cal.
I think I can see it being a case, and or having a case for it and it working on like a lower end device, like an iPhone SE. But I think if you are going for, I know it's a phone, but it's still a pro level device. I don't see how you can advertise that as being what it is and not have the functionality of having something to plug in, personally.
Go on.
I didn't care on the iPad Pro.
Hang on, please. Let's have a couple of others in first. Chuck?
I like what Jeff said. I hadn't really thought about that, is having, you know, something like the connectors where you wouldn't plug something in. That would solve that problem. Because the other issue that's out there is CarPlay. That there are very, very, very few cars that have wireless CarPlay. Now, that will come, you know, down eventually, but I really don't want to have to buy a new car to go with my new iPhone. So
Apple aren't beyond doing that.
No. Well, they are. No, you're right.
That one is again a simple solution, like what Jeff said, like just have a dongle that you can even, I mean, honestly, for that, probably even the Bluetooth thing would work. It's like a little Bluetooth dongle that then connects to the car. Like, yeah, short range, I think that would even be enough.
There are devices out there right now that you can go wireless if you want to. I don't know how efficient it is. I was tempted to try it out since I just got CarPlay not too long ago. But yeah, there's a little devices you just turn into a Bluetooth or it makes it wireless. But like I said, who knows how efficient it is and how well the connection is going to be.
Yeah, sorry, Chuck, you're driving it wrong.
Yeah. Well, and David, I've tried one of those wireless CarPlay things, and it just, you know, it was intermittent at best. Now, it also wasn't a very expensive one, and the technology was pretty new. So I'm willing to give it a shot. But, you know, here we go. And especially in a car situation, you know, you don't want to be fiddling with it. You want to, in my case, just plug it in. It works. I don't have to worry about it. Go.
Okay. So do you think
Apple could offer a solution? Yeah.
Is there an issue here with Apple or actually holding on to Lightning for any other reasons than it's ours, we came up with it, so we're going to stick with it regardless? Or is it Apple holding on to it because they just don't want to go to USB-C? Or is it they're holding on to it and holding on to it because they don't want to go to USB-C? They want to jump to the no port system and they're not there yet, technically.
That's a good point. I mean, think about when they had the 30-pin connector, how long that lasted before they went to Lightning. I mean, there was a long time that went between those two.
People were screaming for micro USB as well, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. And then they screamed when the 30-pin connector went out, and then they came out with the 30-pin to Lightning adapters. So I mean,
I gotta say, I plugged a 30-pin connector into my iPhone 3G the other day, and it there's something satisfying about that fitting in. It just
a little clicky thing,
and it just clicks on the side. And it's like that ain't going nowhere. I can turn my phone upside down and shake, and it's not coming off.
Yep.
I wouldn't recommend that, but
you know.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, Callum will be happy.
20-year-old piece of technology.
Because it gives him some repair work.
Please do, yeah. Sorry, scrap that. Everyone go home and try it.
How many 3Gs do you get, Callum?
Those at that
little window. I'm about to get plenty more.
Those at the little window to Callum's right going, no, tell him to shake it.
Yeah. I agree with Bob Beach in the chat. He says the 30-pin seems very big and clunky now. Yeah, 100%. That, if you think back now, I mean, remember they had the big fat connector, and then they reduced it to half the size, and at least that was a little nicer. But now, it's too clunky.
That's just literally translated to Apple. You were right. You can't ever do that. Yeah, you were right. It was big and clunky. We hated it, but yeah.
But at the time, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was.
It was a great connector. Yeah. It bloody worked and all. That was the key. Power through it, the lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really small compared to the SCSI connector of years earlier. So.
I mean, parallel port even connector.
Even compared to USB, it was kind of smallish. Like the USB that we had at that time, it was small. Yeah.
Callum,
I mentioned in the chat, I tried wireless CarPlay in an ID3 a couple of times, and for me it worked great. It was super reliable. They actually have a wireless charging pad, and you just throw your phone in there and Like, it's awesome. Yeah.
No.
Like, when you have it, it's great. It's just very few cars have it.
So, hand the right straight. No explanations here, please. Just want to show a hands or a yay or nay from you. Apple on the 13 are sticking with Lightning, going to USB-C, not putting any port on at all. Dave Ginsburg.
Sticking with 13, I'm going to go to Lightning. I think I'm going to say Lightning.
Okay, Chucky.
USB-C, although I like what Callum said about maybe splitting the line. So that you didn't give that as an option. And I think that has some appeal.
Okay, so you're saying USB-C, but if you had to choose, you'd prefer the split the line option. That sounds a bit more realistic. Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff?
It'll be the iPhone 13 with a Lightning port.
With a Lightning port. Cal?
I love the idea of it being USB-C. I just don't think they'll do it quite on this one. So I think it will be Lightning, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Patrice?
Yeah, Lightning. They're just going to stick with it until they can pitch it.
Yeah, I mean, my heart says USB-C, but my head says Lightning. But there you go. Damn. Now, you know when you get those things and it said, would you like to sign in with Google Mail? And you go, oh, yes, please. Well, now there's Twitter will allow you to sign in with your Apple account.
Nice. And
I thought that scared the shit out of me, to be honest.
Why?
Well, would you like to sign in with Faceit? Yeah, it's just my Facebook password. And if that one I want to Facebook, would you like to sign in with your Google? Yeah, it's a Gmail password. So if anyone hacks it, I'll get it back. It's not a problem. Do you want to sign in with 700 films, all of your music, your credit card details, all your subscriptions, the place where you live on that account?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. That scares the shit out of me.
So that's that's maybe a misunderstanding how this works. So this is basically, I mean, all of them basically work the same. You go to, doesn't matter, Google, Apple, Facebook, one of them. You authenticate with them and they pass basically back to the original website. So to Twitter, for example. This is Ewan Rankin. Or like, it doesn't even matter. Like, this person is allowed to assign into this account, and here's a token. And then that website takes it over.
Yeah, I know it works. But
they don't get access. They don't get anything from Apple.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I can see this being a bigger opportunity.
Apple implies that when you go through that process on signing any site that Apple.
How it works, and I know it's secure, but in terms of the opportunity to scam, the downside is far greater than me losing access to my Gmail account.
There is, as I said, there is nothing. There is, even if someone wanted to scam you, there is no way to do that, because there is no exchange between Apple and that site.
But this is
a two-step process, basically.
When doing this
is a standard industry standard. Like,
I understand that, Patricia.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, when doing these kind of things, they're not attacking people like me, who look at stuff with a suspicious eye and go, yeah, I don't like that. I think people are easily taken. If that was just three ovals that were linked to a lookalike site, 90%, 80% of the people out there wouldn't know the difference.
I still don't understand how that would work.
Well, here's where I see the problem. And this is not a problem with the technology, because we know it's not actually sharing personal information. It's setting up a bogus site for people that don't understand what you're doing with these universal logins. So you click a button, and now it just gives you a form where you put in all of your personal credential information.
Okay.
And then they're just harvesting names and passwords and bank account, credit card numbers and stuff like that. And it's not actually part of any authentication process. It's just a phishing attack.
Yeah. But I mean, they can do that now. They don't need anything.
Right. Yeah. They can just
put up like a Google login form or an Apple login form now for anything. Like,
mm-hmm.
They do that.
This is what I love about this, because I run into people here on this show and others that are more evil than I am. That's a great idea, Jeff. And I would not have thought of that, because I understand what Patrice is saying, but my rule is I'm going to use my email address. I don't want, you know, I don't want to go through any of the others because I feel my perception is that I have more control.
We have a listener.
More control. When you're using universal login like this, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but actually I'm going to say it's going to happen because it has happened for at least some people. That service can shut down or shut you off. And then you have lost access to all of the places you log in with that interface. And that has happened certainly with Apple's login, and I think it's happened to people with Google's also.
Yeah. So that's one problem. And the other problem is, I mean, obviously all the, like everywhere where you sign in with Apple, someone, if your Apple ID was compromised, they could use that to get into the other account.
Because
that connection is then persistent from your account.
We've got a listener who remained nameless, who's got a firm in London, in the city, that does data support. They set up, they were having a discussion in the office about security over the use of Facebook as a login. So they decided to set up a fake honeypot as a Wi-Fi hotspot that you're allowed to sign in, get free Wi-Fi as long as you signed in through Facebook. They showed up one of these screens, and within in the first hour, they had 25 people give them their Facebook ID and password.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And they deleted that's it the because problem. it was a bet between the guys in the office. But people just saw free Wi-Fi, sign in through Facebook, and they did it. And that's what bothers me always about these kind of things. I don't care about losing my Facebook profile particularly. I don't particularly worry about a Gmail account. I'll get that back. But giving away Apple via that stupidly, I'm sorry, that is a massive threat.
Yeah, I mean, I've used sign in with Apple on a couple sites where I was okay with it because I know how the technology works, but it's totally fine to not do that. And I'm with Jeff there. There are a lot of sites where Chuck, I think, said it. There are a lot of sites where I prefer email. Actually, most sites I prefer email and password because I can put it in one password and I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it depends.
I had an absolute beauty yesterday because I had a parcel being delivered from DHL and not DHL, DPD. And it gave me the window for which it was going to be delivered. And I think it was just purely by chance. I got a scam text that said, sorry, we missed you. DPD, click here to rebook. And I was close. I was proper close. And then I read the URL again. I'm like, no, that's not it. It's just, I mean, but the coincidence was just, holy crap. In the window where I'm supposed to get a delivery, I get a sign saying, sorry, we missed you. I'm clicking that 99 times out of 100 if I'm not careful. And anyone other than me, other than us, it's 100%. My wife would have clicked that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It can happen to, that's the thing. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
You can be, you can be super careful. And I've seen that in our company. Like we're doing security testing every now and then because we're dealing with medical data. So everybody should be aware that they're doing like phishing scams and whatever, just trying to see who in the company would do it. Not that there are any negative repercussions. It's just so that we know, like, to train people again and make them aware of what's going on and so on. There are high level people that like enter their company credentials on a phishing site. They should, everybody should know, but as I said, it can hit anybody. It just has to, just come at the right time with the right information and you being a little bit distracted and you will not notice.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we see the other side of it after people press the button and end up with whatever they end up with. And it's, you get people that run IT companies and are IT professionals and people you look at and on paper, you go, God, you should really know better. But it's right. It does just literally take one moment of a bit of a lapse of concentration and you're done.
I mean, that's how... I mean, honestly, that, if you think about it, that's how the Iranian nuclear program, like, that's how it was infiltrated. someone just not paying attention for a second. And those are people that, like, they know everything is, like, sealed off and, like, separated, whatever.
I just got this vision in my head of someone going to Iron Man Max and going, so I clicked on this thing and what's happened? And then Cal looking at it for a while and they go, so is it bad news? And he goes, yeah, it is. Thinking, have I got a Trojan on there? Have I got malware? Has it got my credit card details? Has it got my email address and login for Facebook? And he goes, no, it's worse than that. You've installed Mac Keeper.
Well, that is worse.
That is worse.
That would be worse.
You know, it makes me wonder. I mean, this is how paranoid I am. It makes me wonder about your DHL thing. You know, did somebody hack the DHL website just not too deep, just enough to see deliveries and get phone numbers and then send you that?
I don't know. It was very out of sight, but I really don't. Okay. Good point. They could have been, but I don't.
It's more likely just straight up a coincidence.
It is just a pure coincidence. It's never happened before.
Yeah. I mean, phone numbers are easy to guess because they're just following patterns and you can just send a million texts and you would hit someone. Like,
So it's interesting, but it's just, I was so, so close. Mm. Yeah. And on the back of that, Apple is not trying hard enough to protect users against surveillance, researchers say. So there's been quite a few high profile people that governments have attacked using known Apple malware to try and get into their phones. It's quite interesting that governments have caused this problem through to activists. And a lot of researchers are saying now that Apple's not doing enough for privacy. I'm just wondering if this is just whether this really is a viable attack on or criticism of Apple, or whether it's just the fact that, you know, it, when you get to a certain level of notoriety, people are going to want to do, you know, I'm thinking of things like the Fappening. It's just when you get to that level, people want to see your photo reel if you're Kirsten Dunst or whoever it was.
I would say it's a bit of both. I mean, Apple could probably do more. Honestly, whatever they do, they could always do more. Like, it's just a matter of priorities, of money. Apple is a publicly traded company and also like a consumer company. So it's always a trade-off. Like, they could create the most privacy, like, centric, most secure phone ever and nobody could use it. It's not what they're trying to do. They have to create something.
There's a phrase used in British law that says, so far as is reasonably practical, which is the amount of effort they go to weighed against the costs, which it costs you to fulfill that.
And Apple pushes that, and Apple has privacy as well. Didn't they just yesterday or today put out another ad about privacy, I think? They're pushing that, and they're using that as their selling point. So I think that's why it's okay to also take them to court and say, not taking them to court literally, but like just saying, hey, you could be doing more.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. I'm totally fine with calling out Apple or Google or whoever it is and holding all of these companies to higher standards because it's my privacy and it's my data that's at risk.
Yeah.
Part of the problem I see here, and this comes out from all of the Pegasus news that's been happening, it's actually much easier to tell if an iPhone has been targeted than if an Android phone has been targeted because of the higher level of security that you have on an iPhone. There are markers that will show up that make it clear that the phone has been compromised, and you don't have those same markers on Android. So it's harder to get a true positive and know for certain, just with the tests that are available now, whether or not an Android phone has the same malware or spyware, whatever, installed.
There's an interesting point here from Mullen. My Android phone detected a scam text where my iPhone didn't.
A really great statement to make because that underlies a big problem that a lot of people have that they don't realize they have. and they're saying my Android phone did this and my iPhone didn't, or the other way, my iPhone did this and the Android didn't for the protection. It's not the device in this specific case. It's the software you're running to monitor for whatever that threat is. So in this case, there's a difference either in the corpus or in the software itself that's monitoring for spam calls, scam calls, the scam texts. And because of that, the Android phone picked up that potential scam text and the iPhone didn't. So let's say they're both running Hiya. Well, maybe the corpus on the iPhone hasn't been updated as recently because you haven't gone into the app or just hasn't hit that point of the cycle. And so the Android phone with a more recent corpus was able to pick that up. In this case, I don't think it's so much the phone, it's the software.
Yeah, I think so too. But Jeff, to your point about Pegasus, that was something that irked me about this. Amnesty International was very clear to say, the only reason why we mention iPhones here is one, because the people that we asked had it, and two, because we just couldn't detect it on Android. There was no way to detect it because the information was not there. The entire press took it as, oh, the iPhone is insecure. Which, I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. And then the other part is, and I think that that is maybe also part of the problem, a lot of the people that were interviewed said, well, we're using the iPhone because Apple says it's more secure. So it's kind of both. Like, there were probably less people even using Android, so it was less of a problem.
Muller's now admitted that he's got no special software on it. It's just a Chinese Android phone. Oh, dear.
So the Chinese government detected it. That's why.
Yeah. So so you can thank the Chinese government for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Personally.
Muller says he loves the phone. He says it's absolutely brilliant. He hasn't checked his bank balance in a while, but
I mean, he shouldn't end that phone.
See if I'm in Max will mend it. It's a Realme 5G good phone, you muppets.
.com here.
See, and you all disagreed with me that piss taking was bad, was good last night. See, and you're all wrong because we're all doing it to Muller and you'll love it.
Piss taking's a way of life,
including Muller.
God, you've got to like have a little bit of it.
I'm okay with my double standard.
Oh, we get emails. This
bothers me though a lot because there's asking whether saying Apple could do more. Like Patrice said, of course they can do more. You know, there's no one out there that with any sense that's going to say yes.
It says Apple not trying hard enough. It didn't say could do more, saying they're not doing more. They should be doing more than they currently are.
Well, that's, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, how about the LifeLock guy? You remember the LifeLock guy that, you know, said, oh, you can't hack me, and here's my social security number. And what happened? He probably got hacked. There are too many people out there that are too good at this stuff and finding too many ways around it. Look, Jeff Gamma came up with a way to, you know, capture your Apple ID while we're on the show. You know, that would work. I mean, Jeff, you could set that up this afternoon and it would work.
I could have it done already.
Yeah.
Jeremy Clarkson said on a show, I'll give £500 to something donkey sanctuary if anyone can actually get into my bank account. It's not as bad as people say. And he gave out his bank account number. And 30 minutes later, someone sent him a text to a phone number he didn't even know he hadn't given his phone number out, saying, "You've just already given I've saved you the time. I've already made the donation from your account."
Yeah.
Wow.
Honestly, if I wanted to get the information from Ewan, it would be super easy for me because I know he's using the BTN website. I could compromise his device only with I would have to figure out how to compromise a Mac, but there's websites out there for that. There's solutions out there I could literally download to do that. But if I'm targeting Ewan, because I know him or I know a lot about him, I could easily do that. And he wouldn't know because I'm targeting him and nobody else.
I would, because you just told me.
Yeah, okay, sure. Okay, you would know it was me, but I could still do it.
I've got a That's feeling he's just changed his view on taking the mic.
No, I mean, I've got admin rights on BTN as well. I could do it to Patrice just as easily.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, that's the thing. If someone is, I mean, and that's also the thing behind Amnesty International about the Pegasus thing. If someone is targeting someone specifically, it is very hard to protect against that because, like, all you need is software and a zero-day exploit that nobody knows about, which all the governments and all the like secret services and whatever, they're all doing that. They have exploits for phones that nobody knows about, so they can get into it. And if they target you, they will get it. Yeah. They will find a way.
If anyone seriously wants me, they can help.
Yeah.
It's just I've always had like levels of passwords. So I've got one password stuff I don't care about. And you'll get into a lot of stuff with that if you actually did find it. And I don't really care because I'd get it back or I'm not bothered about what it gets into. The stuff I'm more bothered about, I've got holy shit passwords on them that people would still probably get if they wanted
bank.
It. So, yeah. Well, my bank uses me face now. So that
you got face.
No okay. End. Last story then is to talk about the Shot on an iPhone awards for the year for 2021. And I know it's been a grim year for getting out and about, but I've got to say the grand prize winner is not inspiring to me. That is the best photograph shot on an iPhone this year.
Really?
Wow. I'm pretty sure I've taken better photos on my iPhone just on my random walks around town.
Just the flowers you get or the street.
Never mind why.
So anyway, I'm walking through this muddy field. There's light dust in the snow on it. And you never guess what? These two blokes walk up to me, both carrying the sheep. Why aren't they riding on the sheep? Transylvanian shepherds. There we go. It's
hungry.
The one thing I'll always tell people is if you want to enter a photo competition, and I've had a few people write to me over the years and doing the photo show saying, how do you win a photo competition? I said, well, I don't know because I've never won one, is the short answer. But the one thing I can tell you is that the unexpected will win you the best pictures. So you can't, if you've got a lifeguard diving in to save someone in a swimming pool, you're never going to get an award for that because people dive into swimming pools to save people all the time. It's not expected. Dodsey put a fantastic photo in the Photoshop, the photo room the other day of a camouflage lizard that was the same color as the wall, but it was crawling between two arrows that were absolutely pointing to it exactly. And I'm like, that is a winning photo because it is the unobvious. Camouflage is pointed to by an arrow. That'll get it every time. But sometimes you look at stuff and you're just like, well, that's got to speak to someone, but it ain't speaking to me. And that's the trouble that it is. That image does not speak to me at all. And when you scroll down through these and you have a look at some of the others that are available, see, that's a significantly better image. It's got a lot of Ansel Adams in that in terms of the contrasting tones and the bonding a bit between the man and the horse. Much more of a human story, far better. That one, the Tatooine scene, a little bit of interest with the person walking, but generally largely not worth looking at. That one I quite like. Mm-hmm. But again, that's kind of like if you've got a skipping rope in a hand or something, then yeah, that'd be really, really good. There's a few later on. The abstract one, I'm not sold on with that one. Bad luck, Glenn. It's not tickled my fancy, but it did get first place, so it's obviously tickled someone's fancy. That one with the train, what the flipping hell am I looking at there?
Oh, I thought it was a forest fire from a distance at first.
Yeah.
It's the last Sting train shot on a Pro to a 12 Pro Max. Now, the thing is, the interesting thing is, you look at the first one. The first one's shot on an iPhone 7, and it's in decent quality, at least, if nothing else. That one's horrific, and it's been shot on a phone that's four generations later. Frozen Lines, I quite like that one. That could be Earth from Space, or, you know, you can read a lot into that one. I quite like that, the third place one. And then you get on that's a lovely photo. To think that was shot on an iPhone, I'd be happy with that out of DSLR. I think that's really well done, really well lit, superb shot of the lizard. That one's gorgeous. I love the main, very abstract, absolutely beautifully done quality photo. That is significantly even better than what won. And I love that one as well. with the horse shaking itself in the high or standing in the high wind.
That's a cool photo.
That is a great shot. It's a dog, I think, not a horse. The abstract ones, or the stuff that's in the architectural category, is superb. The hardest shot in the book is to get that one straight. Mm-hmm. And they have looked through some arches. That one's lovely as well. Very, very good. Again, hard to get that perpendicular. Not so much on the Taj Mahal shot. That's very badly exposed. There's not enough contrast in that at all. I love this shot. I think this is superbly done. It's some kids crawling over a wire frame that's been distorted, and the distortions really, really work well. I think that's a lovely, lovely shot. Can't talk enough about that. That's really, that one really piqued me. Kid being washed out by the surf. That's really, really good. And the kid with the glass eye in his mouth. I mean, it's a bit weird and it's a little bit out there, but it's a great shot. There's some really great stuff later on in the images. And there's other stuff that's a little bit weak, but certainly the one that's the grand prize winner is absolute dog shit in comparison to the rest. But there you go. I'll put the link in the chat room if you want to go, and you can send in your comments and we'll read them out on next week's show.
And with a couple of shapes.
Yeah, and I might never work again. The funniest answer, we'll give away something. We'll give an Iron Max charging pad away or something like that if we can get prize one out of Mo's dead hands. He's not going to give it without a fight, is he?
Oh, yeah, but I'd hope he wouldn't be dead after.
No, I'm joking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, God. Compose myself. This show and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host, literally brought to you by, because they've got all the servers that store all the crap that we make, and they've got all of the bandwidth that helps us send it out to you, and we'd be stuffed. So simple as. They've given us two brand new servers are coming our way, two new dedicated servers to host everything, which will be uber fast and wonderful. We're just waiting for them to write back to me on a ticket that we've raised about that. And all you've got to do is send out a message on the socials. Simple as. We keep getting sponsored by TSO Host. If you go out on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting Out British Tech, they don't want anything else from you. Just that brand recognition. And we haven't been doing it very much the last few months. So please, 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 unless you get out there and do that, we will be struggling to keep them as a support. And if we lose them as a support, we're absolutely knackered. So please get out there. BTN20 is your offer code if you buy anything as well. They'll also know that you're buying from us if you use that code. And also IMN Max, you'll get 5% off your IMN Max repair, providing you say BTN as part of your order. They're brilliant. Cal comes every week and gives his little two penneth on the Apple news. But anything that's got an Apple logo on it, they will fix it, and they'll do a damn good job doing it. And if there's an error, they'll refix it. And we've had a Magic Man had his iPad done, and there was a bit of a fault with it. And straight away, no, get it back. We'll sort it. It's not an issue. That's the kind of service you want. It's not about getting things right first time. It's about whether you stand behind your work, and they certainly did with that one. Have we got anything that's worth having at the moment, Callum? A hot machine or a refreshed machine? Or?
We've got loads and loads of refurbished stock in at the moment. So if you do want anything, go over to our website. Everything's on there. We've actually got about four or five Mac Minis in at the moment with varying spec. Ooh. We don't have an M1 one, unfortunately, but we do have...
I do.
I do as well. It's very good. But but we've got three 2014 machines, all with SSDs, so they absolutely fly. And we've got one Mac Mini server as well, which they call it a Mac Mini server, but the only difference is it has two drives as standard. So if you need to be storing a lot, or if you do want to use it as a server, we've got one of those as well. So everything's on the website, and you get your 5% off all of that as well.
Brilliant. Yep, check them out. imnmax.com. Right. Have we got any cool things? Start us off, Mr. Ginsburg.
Well, today is the day. It's Ted Lasso Day. So,
hang on. You can carry on talking about it, but no spoilers, dude.
No spoilers. No spoilers. No spoilers. I just watched the first episode before I came out of the show. So,
well, we're saving it. We're saving it up. We're saving it up so we can watch it all and binge it.
Okay. But it is out as we record this today. So go watch it. It was a delight. And the first season was a delight. And I still think it's a cool thing to find. I'm sure we've talked about it many times, but go watch Ted Lasso.
Well, that's interesting. It won't play the video. It's playing on my laptop, but it won't transmit through the play screen. You little buggers, Apple.
Well, that's very clever of them.
They know it's being screen recorded, so they won't let you see it. I've had this before.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Right, I'm not going to watch it now. Stuff off. Just on that, I'm not going to watch. I protest. I'm not going to watch it now. I'm lying. I'm going to watch. I'm totally going to watch it.
You can't. You have to.
Ted Lasso, worth the Apple TV money on its own.
Yes, I would say. For sure.
Yeah, I assume that just like last season, I will absolutely love every single episode, and at some point during every single episode, I will cry.
Yep,
you didn't. No, I didn't cry.
No, there was I did. Every single episode, there was a cry point for me.
No, I was
tears. I say tears, sad. Not crying, but some tears.
Yeah, tears. Tears. Yeah. Yeah.
Tears of joy.
I used to cry when they used to get the footballing references wrong. That's just me, anyway.
it's a wonderful series. If you haven't watched season one, now is the time. Binge season one, and by the time you finish binging season one, you'll be ready for season two. So there's going to be probably 8 to 10 weeks of slow release, though. So
a week.
We've got a long time to wait.
Yeah, so it's actually 12 weeks because 12 episodes.
12 episodes, yep.
So, yep.
I might watch season one again then, just to catch up. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
I changed my pick based on the photo contest. I don't know how many of you know Larry Jordan, but he does a lot of video training, and he published a book called Techniques of Visual Persuasion. And if you are doing anything in the film area, in the video area, or even just the presentation area, this is an amazing book. It teaches you what you see first and how to see it and why you see it. That to me is the most interesting, why you see things, in what order you notice them. And it's changing some of my ways of thinking about presentations and some other things. And I can't recommend it highly. I mean, I've only just started digging through it, and I'm skipping around in it trying to find some of the interesting pieces. And the trouble is it's all interesting. So it's available in hardback. It's available on Kindle. But by all means, go out and check this out. If you're doing anything in the video area or in the photo area, I think you are guaranteed to learn something no matter what level you're at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I follow a few photographers on Twitter, and I've been around studio lighting for 30 years, and I still learn. Always.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Chuck, thanks to you, my copy arrives tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good. Just bought it.
You will not be unhappy, Jeff.
You're going to see Jeff's YouTube channel go from 500 to 5 million followers just that strength like that. Alone. Right. Tomorrow, literally tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, it'll be tomorrow after the book shows up.
You got to wait till you read it, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, so maybe tomorrow night.
Yeah,
cool. It'll all because of BTN. So
I'll take that. I'm going to take that. Patrice, oh God, here we go. It's bloody Audible week again. I can't get that up. It doesn't work. Oh no, the link's not working. Just doesn't send it to the right place. Go on, Patrice. What have you got?
Okay. Mine is a book. It is available in hard copy if you want it. I put in the Audible link, but it's a book if you want it. The book is titled Fish. It's a weird title. You would think it's also a very very weird story in a sense, but it's really interesting and funny. And it's a fictional story about a very famous fish market in Seattle, I want to say, which has, according to that book at least, it's the most successful market out there, and people are happy and screaming and whatever. And it's about it's basically a story about a typical department at an IT company, and we all know companies like that, where like there's a department nobody wants to deal with, nobody wants to work with, nobody wants to work there. In the book, they call it a toxic hellscape. It's no fun to work there. Nobody really wants to deal with them. And the transformation of that department into like actually a good place to work and a fun place to work, and also like something that can be productive. And I just like the story. It's kind of transferring what the fish market is doing with like having fun and like customer oriented and all of that to like a IT workplace environment. And as I said, I just found it super interesting. It was a recommendation from our CEO, and I was kind of skeptical because like it sounds weird, but it's actually a good story. So good. I enjoyed it.
We've got a crackle on your audio. Is everyone else hearing that, or is it just me?
Yes.
Yeah,
I got it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think just, something was going on with my Mac. I don't know.
Bit of a flash issue. Just kidding. Good pick. Callum, what's yours?
My pick this week is an app called App Tamer. So it's on Setapp, which is where I found it. It's a really neat little app. So basically, it gives you all of the readouts of all of the applications you're using and how much CPU it's taking up. But it also allows you to essentially throttle certain apps. So you can say, I want this app open, but I don't want it using this much CPU, or I want it using less. And you can shunt more towards apps that you want to have the majority of the sort of power, I suppose. So it's a really neat little app. I've used it a couple of times this week for various things. It works really well, and it's on Setapp as well, which is good.
Well worth it, yeah. Love that.
Definitely give it a go.
Setapp's worth it. Do you find yourself frigging around too much with it, or do you make obvious mistakes with it? You know, you overthrottle anything?
You've got to tweak things, because I was throttling it down. So basically, I was doing a data recovery. So I basically said all of the software, all of the CPU power can go to the software I was doing data recovery on. And then I found out that actually, if you want to use another app, then it doesn't really work. So you do need to give some, you need to be a bit fair with it. But it's a good app once you get your head around it, to be fair. It's very similar to, I forget the name of the app now, because we don't go anywhere anymore, do we? But you could basically say, I want this app to only use this much Wi-Fi or whatever. I forget the name of the app. It's sort of very similar to that, but for your CPU.
Cool. Excellent. Good pick. And Jeff?
Mine is iPhone and iPad app. Well, apparently Apple TV also. I didn't realize that till a few minutes ago. Lego Builder's Journey, which has been a pick before for me, but it's a pick again because they just recently rolled out an update that added more levels. So if you played it and enjoyed it, now you can go and play even more levels. The only problem that I've had with it is that after the update installed, I noticed that I had to start from the very beginning as if I had never played before, which may be something on my iPad. I'm not saying that the update made that happen, although it may have. I don't know. But
You wouldn't be upset at that, though, because you'd be quite happy doing it all over again, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Starting over it was no big deal for me because it's such a fun game.
Excellent. Good pick.
And I don't remember how much it costs.
It's part of Arcade, isn't it?
Oh, you're part right. That's Apple why Arcade. I don't remember how much it costs. It's part of Apple Arcade.
There you go. Glad I'm here.
Thank you.
My cool thing is scoreboard. I play 9-ball pool on a Wednesday night in the league, and I usually get my ass kicked, but we get into some of the games and I forget what the score is. So I found this and it's great. All you do is when you score, you touch it. There you go.
Yeah.
And if you want to go the other way, you just swipe. So any touches and it goes up, and then swipes, it goes down.
There we go. Cool.
Dead simple, and it's free. And you can do it on its side, and you can change the colors. and you can do whatever you like. You can put the units however you want, but that's it. You just dab it and then swipe it. Let's go back the other way. Hmm. Dead simple. Free. And it's great. I love it to bits. Just put it on a little stand on the side by the table while we're playing, and then just if you win, you go over and you dab it. That's it. Everyone knows. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. G?
Hold of me at InTouchWithIOS at InTouchWithIOS.com. Got the new episode with Chuck and Guy Cyril this week. You'll be hearing that. You find me on YouTube, YouTube.com/DaveG65. You can find me on Twitter, DaveG65, and find me on the Mac, Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck and the gang. We have a blast there as well. And thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you, mate. Chuck, where we can get you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. As David said, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights on YouTube at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We'd love to have you join us. And on any of the socials, pretty much, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for having me, Ewan.
Thank you. No worries at all. Patrice, where are you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show and also Thursdays on the Big Show with Jeff and everybody. I'm like everything I'm doing, all the social media links and projects and podcasts and whatnot, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and just everything that goes with that.
Excellent. Cal?
You can find us and everything we do at imamax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imamax. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. If you've got any questions, anything you need any help with, just give me a shout and we'll be happy to help.
Lovely, mate. Thank you for that. And last but not least, Jeff.
Twitter and Instagram, jgamut both places. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/jgamut. Thursdays on the Big Show, here on Fridays on the Mac Show, most Tuesdays Mac Voices Live, quite often on In Touch with iOS, and other shows. I get around. Google me.
Cool. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter and follow the network on at British Tech. We're going to be back again next week as normal. We've got the Big Show on Thursday, and we've got the Mac Show on Friday. If you can, please give a donation towards the Daily Show that's run by Kyle, a new show. That comes out every day at 9 a.m. on your feed. It's done by Kyle in the Philippines, and we pay him to do it. We are running short on funds, so anyone that can donate anything, please, that would be lovely. Just $5 for every listener would be enough to pay for Carl to do it. It's not a problem. Every month, that'd be great. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.